Hi there, welcome to Let's Talk Tottenham. This is Monday night fan zone. Two fans at the moment. Hopefully Mac will be joining us a bit later on. He went to the game yesterday. But I'm joined by Ian. You'll know Ian plenty. He's been plenty of podcast streams and been on here plenty of times. Always a pleasure. How are you doing, Ian?
I'm good, Chris. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. But the season hasn't started yet, so I'm sure in a couple of weeks' time I'll be a bit down in the dumps like everybody. Thanks to everyone who's been in the comments so far, although Citizens Band, I'm not sure what the message is there. It sounds like a lot of emojis. But Bobby K, how you doing, buddy? Always a pleasure. Make sure you catch Coove and the Gang. That's his channel, Three Spurs Boys, I think every Saturday. But yeah, no show for you, Ian, but obviously anyone who needs a guest on or wants a guest on, you can usually find Ian on there. But let's get cracking. We obviously beat Shakhtar yesterday very, very comfortably. But was it Harry's last game? Everyone's put two and two together with him waving goodbye and clapping the fans at the end that he's clapping goodbye. Could just be he was clapping the fans because a lot of 55,000, I think, for pre-season friendly turned up. And also, I've completely forgot. I haven't done this for a while. Please hit the like, subscribe and the notification bell. Really, really helps the channel and get your comments, questions, everything in. But yeah, Ian, apologies. Was it Harry's last game for us?
On balance, I think so.
Because apparently we've rejected another bid. I don't know if you can read. We've rejected another bid from Bayern. I've got a real bad feeling that it's going to be a Berbatov situation. He's gone the last second of the window.
Sure. And I think it's... Hi, Mark, just in the chat
hey,
there.
Mark.
I think it's very difficult to second guess. And anyone who tries to second guess Levy. yeah, exactly. And for all, there'll be a lot of people watching, what have you. You know what it's like in the poison world of Spurs social media, the Levy out brigade. One thing I think we can all agree on, and I actually said this 2 years ago when he was apparently going to City, was that if there's anybody you want to see going out to bat for you, in a negotiation like this, it's Daniel Levy. There's nobody better in the world that can go out and deal with this. I think the Germans have really played this badly. I mean, first of all, the first things, I can't remember the director, Hoeneß, was it?
Almost like,
it sounded like something out of a bad war film, resistance is futile. We will get our man, and that won't go down. That won't go down well with anybody. And it certainly wouldn't go down well with Daniel Levy. I mean, he'll take a view. I will sell Harry Kane as and when I'm good and ready to sell Harry Kane at a price. I'm prepared to sell Harry Kane. Kane isn't agitating. I can say this as someone who's negotiated professionally, and anybody who's negotiated professionally will know. If you make a final offer, it has to be your final offer. Because once you come back, your negotiating position is weak.
Levy now knows he can get whatever he wants because this is our final offer, apart from this one a week later.
Absolutely.
He can demand whatever because the likelihood now is they are going to come back with what he wants. I hope it's not a Berbatov situation.
But Bayern, has played this hand very badly from their own point of view because they're now in a position, if they say, well, we're going to walk away, having invested their entire summer on getting this transfer over the line and effectively saying Harry Kane is coming to Bayern Munich, and they don't get it. Well, they're utterly humiliated. I just see Nick in the chat there saying, Kate, his wife, is due to give birth in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Kids are starting school. And I'd go to say, as far as he signs a new contract. I do think, just if you picked up what I said at the beginning, Nick, that I think he's played his last game because I don't think Levy will allow him to go to a position where the season starts and the transfer window closes and he's able to walk away on a free next season. That's bad football and it's worse business. Because at the end of the day, it's still let's call it 100, let's call it £85 million, what Bayern apparently are offering, 100 million euros or thereabouts. That's an inordinate amount of money when we're looking at perhaps bringing in at least one more top quality central defender. We'll need to bring in a high quality forward to replace it.
Do you think we will, or do you think it will be? I personally think it's Richarlison who goes up front. I'm not sure.
Richarlison didn't become a bad player when he joined Tottenham. I know there's some people think he wasn't that good, but I judge him when he's playing in a good side, when he's playing in a Brazil side. And when he plays in a Brazil side, he looks a completely different player. I think he's one of those, when we can talk about Conte and what have you. And I think part of the problem with the Conte era in particular was he coached the ability and confidence out of so many players. Yeah. I mean, I think what he did towards the end of the season, last season, probably post-Christmas, was utterly criminal. And there were so many players going backwards. And you see now players, in whether it's in training, whether it's in matches, playing with a smile on their face, playing with freedom, players like Bissouma and Sarr, as two examples of players freed from the shackles of a Conte system. And with somebody like, you know, Richarlison, I think, you know, Ange isn't a big talker to people, but I think the system will create chances. And Richarlison's pretty nimble in the box, which is not something you'd say about Harry Kane. So I would have a fair amount of confidence that Richarlison could step up. I don't want to lose Kane. I don't want to lose Kane. But if you're asking me, stay, go, or stay a year and go on a free at the end of the season, on a free and go at the end of the season is not an option. We've been linked very heavily with this guy, Gift Orban, from Ghent, probably an easier club to do business with than, say, Juventus or somebody like that, who's 21 years of age, and apparently they're looking for somewhere in the region of 30 million euros or thereabouts. For a player that some say is the best, you know, the best young striker in the world. And we've got Alejo Velif coming in as well. That should be announced soon. Yeah. So there's options there. Also, I think Sonny could play in play at centre forward as well.
Going back to Richarlison, I think he'll prove a lot of people wrong this season. I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. The coach the attackingness out of some players and almost wasn't allowed to attack free-flowing. From what I've seen, we'll talk about Ange later because I know you know a lot more about him and his style of play than I do. From what I've seen in the highlights, we're not going to struggle scoring goals or creating chances here. It's the other end, and we'll talk about that a bit later on. But so I think people like Kulusevski, who had a bad season last season, Son, who had a bad season, will flourish. And getting Maddison as well, I think he could be one of the signings of the summer because he'll shift the ball quickly to those wide players.
Yeah. And highlights.
We bought Richie, he's Kane's replacement.
Yeah, I saw that. And I think, you know, I think maybe that was, you know, what Daniel had in mind when he bought him. I mean, he was a huge disappointment last season. There's no getting away. And a lot of the chances he had, he squandered. But I think he's probably a couple of goals away from having the confidence and hearing the crowd cry, you know, sing his name.
Well, I don't know if you saw the pre-season hat-trick, the last goal, lovely little dink. You don't do that if you're not confident.
No, absolutely. Well, you
possibly do if you're confident regardless, but if you're lacking confidence, you just try and blast it in if you're one-on-one to get it in the net. So I don't have any worries about him. Like I said, I think he'll flourish. I think he'll prove a lot of people wrong, whether he's playing up top as Kane's replacement, whether he's on the wing, because we're just going to create chances. And Maddison, I will come on to him later. I've been wanting him there or someone like him ever since Eriksen said, I want to go. God knows how many years ago, 4 years ago that was. And I like you, I only watched the highlights yesterday and the other games, but he's spreading the ball. He's popping up on the left. He's popping up on the right. When he's in the middle, it's spraying it out left, out right. I think he could be one of the signings of the summer. And
And for £40 million, yeah, I think, I mean, as well, what I mean, you saw some of the things. Oh, if Harry Kane wasn't playing for Tottenham, Spurs would have been in a relegation battle last season. Well, you know, my dad used to say, if your granny had balls, she'd be your grandpa. I mean, the reality is two things. One, if Kane wasn't playing, someone else would be playing and scoring some goals. The other thing under the Ange system is that goals will come from all parts of the field.
Yeah.
You know, it won't just be one player. Although I do think Harry Kane, and there was evidence of it yesterday, Harry Kane could score an absolute bucket load. I mean, Harry Kane could score comfortably 50 goals across the competitions in an Ange system, comfortably.
Yeah.
Maybe not 50 league goals in a 38-league season, but, you know, he could score more than a goal a game under that system, because we will score a lot of goals.
Yeah, that's why.
The issue, of course, is how many we concede.
Yeah. But, going back to Kane and Nick's comment with a few things. If he's there for Brentford, he's staying, and I'd go to say he signs a new contract. I think...
Yeah.
If he's there for Brentford, he's already said he expects to stay. In terms of the new contract, if we're really kicking on and doing what Arsenal did last season, where no one expected them to be anywhere near the top, and then we haven't got Europe for a start, so that could help us.
Mm.
And because of that, theoretically, we should be taking the cup seriously, because we haven't got a midweek European game after a cup game and then a league game following it. So if we're doing well... I'm not sure whether he'd sign a contract, but it'd be much, much more likely, I think, that he'd sign a new contract if we were doing well. Because he was the main man under Conte, but it was a defensive system. Under Ange, like you say, an attacking thing. He will be front and centre of everything. And he likes scoring goals. And he's going to score goals. Based on the evidence of yesterday, he had about 4 chances that he missed as well. He could have had about 7. Yeah.
And he would be conscious of that. How many can I score here?
Yeah,
I think I see Mark saying Clive Allen Mark too. Yeah, that I'm trying to remember.
It's a long way to go to get 47 goals in a season.
Yeah, it was 86, the 86-87 season that Clive Allen scored 49 goals in all competitions, because we got to Wembley that year as well in the FA Cup. I've just lost what I was going to say. Going back to Nick's point about if he stays for Brentford, and that was, I think, he said, if I start the season, I'll basically be going through it. But I think as well, what's significant is that Bayern have the Super Cup final, I think, on...
Yeah, well, they wanted him before that, didn't they? But obviously that's not happening because they...
I can't remember what game that is, but I can't remember what day that is. But again, I think if Bayern are going to get this deal done, they're going to want to do it tomorrow or Wednesday him over.
I think it's exactly what you said. And then just quickly, Anthony Herbert, how are you doing, Anthony? Big up, Chris. Hope you're well. Still lots to talk about Kane. Can you see him ending up at Bayern Munich? I think if they hadn't have come out and pissed off Daniel Levy. I was watching a Sky Sports News before I came out. Brad Friedel was on there. I love Brad Friedel. But he was just laughing at how Bayern Munich have gone about it, because that's not how you deal with Daniel Levy.
No.
And Daniel Levy will know they want him for that cup final. So if he does end up at Bayern Munich, there's no way he's being sold before that final, just to stick it 2 fingers up to them. Because if they haven't gone about it the right way, they are a huge club. Let's not get it wrong. They are a huge
club.
But they've acted like they are a huge club and we're like a League Two side.
Absolutely.
And like you said earlier, Daniel Levy negotiates. Whether you like him or hate him, he has in the past got maximum amount of money out of players that were being offered.
Absolutely.
The offers were a lot less. It's just, I would rather let him go now, 85 million. And you know, and I think if he goes now to Bayern Munich, he will be back at Spurs at some point, maybe in a year or two, when he's got the league's pretty much a given if he goes to Bayern Munich. Champions League, they've got a good chance. And I think he'll be back at Spurs. I don't think he's played his last game. But if he goes to a Premier League club for free next season, I don't think it's going to be easy to buy him out.
That's what I would never allow to happen. And I don't think Daniel will either. No. I don't think there's any way in the world he's going to risk Harry Kane either signing for Madrid, unlikely with Mbappe, but or Barcelona or even Bayern for nothing in January, or Man United, Chelsea, or Arsenal, even Liverpool.
Although talking about Chelsea as well, Brad Friedel was saying that He obviously knows Pochettino, knows he likes Kane. Kane likes him, and Pochettino he's met, and lovely person. But so's Harry Kane, and he will know what it means to the Spurs fans going to another Premier League team. So he doesn't think he'll go to a Premier League team for free if it comes to that. He thinks he'll go abroad just because he's a Spurs fan as well. He'll know what it means. It's very, very interesting. But I wouldn't be surprised if he does go to Bayern this window and there's some kind of first refusal or something like that that Daniel Levy's put in so that we can get him back.
The only thing I would say to that is he's 30 now. If he was coming back at 32 for, let's say, 40 million, that's the antithesis of a Levy signing, a player playing top dollar for a player with no resale value. And one thing, you know, Daniel's not, he's not a sentimentalist. This is, for him, one of the weaknesses of him, as we see it, is that he's it is business. So he doesn't seem to have any emotional attachment to the football club. I can't see that myself. I'll be honest, of him coming back, maybe at 35 on a free, having having played out his contract. But I mean, it seems, I mean, if it were me, and I don't know what he's been offered, if it's just sign a new contract, there was talk, you know, a 5-year contract plus a coaching job when you finished and what have you, that would probably be quite attractive to Harry Kane. But I mean, I would have even thought, so we've got one to go, say a 3-year extension. And you can go after 2 years if we haven't won anything for 40 million, 50 million or whatever. That I think would work for everybody.
Is someone going to pay that for a 32-year-old?
Well, you know, if he's still the top striker, one of the top strikers in the world, he obviously looks after himself. He can probably pay at least till he's 35 at top level. But of course, one of the things is, if you said Kane's got a weakness, you'd say he's not blessed with blistering pace. And if he doesn't have as much pace, then that will you know, weaken his ability as well. But he could play in a lot of places. He could play in a deep line midfield role or whatever. I mean, he's so good and so versatile. But I do think, Chris, we will know by this time on Wednesday, one way or the other, what's happening. I just think there comes a point, and you know what it's like with Levy. It's foreplay. But at some point, you know, this is we're either getting done or getting dressed and going home.
I worry it's a Berbatov situation again, last second of the transfer window. I mean, it may be that that's going to happen and this Veliz guy is coming to replace him, but essentially replace Richarlison, and Richarlison's replacing Kane, or Solomon's coming to replace Son, and Son is replacing Kane. So one other person that it could be, and after yesterday, what a wonderful finish from Dane Scar off the mark. Obviously a friendly, but his first goal for the first team. And I mean, I know it was 4-1, last kick of the game. So, you know, if it goes wide or it doesn't go in, it's still 4-1 win. But we talk about Richarlison and his confidence.
Absolutely.
Never scored a goal in the first team. And then to do that, and I don't think the keeper moved. It always looks better when the keeper doesn't move. But
I'd be the last... Sorry, I'd be the last one to rain on his parade, but you know, they sat off him and gave him a lot of room. He won't get that very often in a Premier League game. But at the end of the day, he still got to turn, shoot, and find the target, and he did it with aplomb. So,
Do you think he'll be in the first team, the squad next season? For me, I'd rather see him go on loan again. And he didn't get a huge amount of game time at Pompey. Highest trade, maybe in the Championship, and see what he can do there.
Yeah, it's interesting because again, you know, the talk about the I've written his name down, Alejo Feliz. He's coming in, and there's talk about Gift Orban. So that would, you know, granted, we'd have three strikers under the age of 21 that could come in, which would be really promising for the future. But whether we need all three, I don't know. Scarlett, everybody likes what they've seen. Everybody talked really highly of him.
And he's quick as well. That's something he's got over Kane. He's quick.
And that's something, you know, that's something that Ange likes. speedy players. You know, the importance of Mickey van der Ven, I don't think, can be overstated. And to be honest, I know there was a lot of talk about Tapsoba and what have you, and one or two other right-sided players. I think the fact that we've got somebody as quick as him at the back, because we will lose possession and we will always, you'll always be vulnerable in transition.
We got caught with balls over the top and then going out, and got caught a couple of times yesterday. So obviously, someone's speedy. And I've seen a clip of Van de Ven. Now, it could be the striker was ridiculously slow, so it's made him look even quicker. But the ground he made up in this clip was
unreal, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. I have no idea how quick the attacker was, like I say. But yeah, I mean, it's not scary for attackers, but if you've got a quick attacker and you know that you're up against him, it's not a foregone conclusion like it would have been last year with the lack of pace that we had in that defence. And Doggy there as well, he's fairly quick. If Emerson plays, he's fairly quick. So we've suddenly got a fair bit of pace. Obviously, Vertonghen and Alderweireld didn't really have that much pace, but their reading of the game was so good they didn't really need it, like John Terry. But yeah, I mean, we needed some defenders, and let's talk about that now, actually. So he was in the stands. Valise is soon too. But yeah, Van de Ven, I don't know a huge amount about him other than the fact he sprinted like that. He's obviously fairly young. Hopefully he can help calm Romero down, because I think I'm right in thinking Ange plays with four at the back rather than Conte with the three at the back and then two wing-backs.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's correct. So it's Van de Ven and someone else. It's got to be Romero. I like Dier, but he's just not good enough. And then whoever the fullbacks are.
I mean, I think
hopefully he can calm him down.
Yeah, I think that's right. You would like to think that Romero will calm himself down as well, because he's an experienced, you know, World Cup winner.
Yeah.
For heaven's sake, you know, he must know by now. He's not dumb, you know. He must know by now what the consequences are for some of the tackles that he makes. But you would hope. I mean, if that was the back four against, Destiny Udogie, Van de Ven, Romero, and Emerson was the back four, you'd go into that saying, I'm pretty happy with that. You know, that's two new players as well, on that left side of the defence. So you'd have to be comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a comment here from Blair. How you doing? Hi, Chris and Ian. Big up, lads. You see that striker, 6'4", Kevin Kelsey, who scored their goal, Googled him while in the South Stand. He's Spanish. Not sure we'd get him. But talking of that goal and the defence, I don't want to dig Eric Dier out, and it is pre-season, but their goal came from him allowing the cross to come in. He wasn't anywhere near. You've got to have some kind of press, and it is pre-season. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but we have had previous from Eric Dier not closing people down, and it can't just be him. He ghosted in, and the other central defenders didn't cover themselves in glory with their have a header. But yeah, that's what I worry about. I don't worry about, from what I've seen, scoring goals, even if Kane goes, because I think Kulusevski, Richarlison, Son, Madison, Saar, Lo Celso, Udogie, whoever's on the right would follow or chip in. It's keeping them out. And this is pre-season. We haven't kept a clean sheet yet, I don't think. And we're going to be playing. Brentford ain't going to be easy at all.
And the goals we've conceded haven't been good. You talked about the goal and Dier yesterday.
Yeah.
You talked about the Shaq challenge.
Yeah,
I thought it was Davis was on, but I might have missed a change.
I thought it was Dier. If it wasn't, then
Dier didn't start the game. I don't know if he came on, because I haven't been able to track all the substitutions.
It was literally the last kick of the first half, I think.
Yeah, well, I think Davis was on. I don't think Dyer, I'm not sure even Dyer actually played, but
Well, if it was Davies, then that's got to, you know, that's as bad as Dyer doing it. You know, you've got to close people down, certainly in crossing areas like that. We saw what happened when Maddison didn't get closed down. He sticks it on Kane's head and then it's a
absolutely
second goal. So I think this is something that we struggled with last season, not closing down crosses. And but it is pre-season. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and hopefully.
I think what was interesting, Chris, is that the ball was given away. It was a hoof up the field by Højbjerg, and the ball was lost. And apparently, Postecoglou turned away and hands on his head and was saying, play, play, play. You know, we won't give away, or at least we won't give away bad possession like that through just hoiking the ball. Yes, someone could always play a poor pass when they're trying to play a pass or get caught in possession when they're playing at the back. You'd always be at risk of that. But that hoofing the ball, I was actually a little bit surprised that Bissouma didn't play in the middle yesterday.
He was injured, wasn't he, in one of the previous games? I don't know if it is it'd be a shame if he is, because he's had a really good preseason. Yeah. And I was so excited when we got him last, must have been summer, because for me, he's a midfielder who can do everything, and not just, he can do it as a utility player. He can do everything really, really well. I'm excited to see what he can do this season.
Yeah, I think he's a classic case. I was talking earlier about players having the confidence and the ability coached out of them by Conte. If ever there was a player that looked like a startled rabbit in the headlights, it was Bissouma, of not really knowing and understanding what he was meant to do in terms of following his instincts or just playing, you know, little silly square balls or whatever. And since he's come in, and Sarr's another one that just drives on with a ball. They're big, they're powerful. They've got a finish on them, both of them as well. So, I mean, I think one of the great things about it with the system that Ange plays is that, you know, he looks like he's been playing Sarr as one of the number eights.
I'm excited for him next season as well. I think he can be a top player.
But I think Sarr could play in the holding role, the number six role, as well as Bissouma. Skip can obviously play it as well. Or Sarr, Lo Celso, Maddison could all play the, and of course Bentancur will come back, can all play the number eight role. So I don't think we need to tamper too much with our midfield. I think it's pretty good. And I think if they want to raise some money to buy another quality central defender, I'm more than happy that Højbjerg goes. I just don't think he's a good fit for Ange Ball.
No, well, there's links of him moving away, isn't there? But yeah, I agree with you. Midfield, I think's fine. And when Bentancur comes back, we've got almost an embarrassment of riches. If Lo Celso looks a completely different player. But yeah, like Conte was always backwards, wasn't he? His Ange going forward. That's what Lo Celso wants to do. He doesn't want to be going backwards.
So, yeah. You
know, Ndombele, I'm not sure about, but I haven't seen too much of him. But in terms of going forward in the midfield, certainly if Kane stays, we don't have to touch that forward line at all. If he does go, I still think Richarlison will do well. It's that defence. If we could get Van de Ven in and another top-quality centre-back, I think we're ready to go this season. It's just, I do worry without another top-quality centre-back, because if we've got Romero, who could be top-quality, Van de Ven, who we're all liking, one of them gets injured, we've got a Dyer or a Sanchez. If we get another top-quality one in, there's another one before.
I mean, what I'm reading, and Dombal is another one that he doesn't fancy.
Spence, I think his attitude. Spence, I think they put that in a comment on Friday that he's got a bad attitude, apparently.
It appears to be that Spence's attitude isn't right. Yeah. So he's going to go. I mean, and that you could say, you know, who's done their due diligence when it said it was a club signing? Conte said it was a club signing. Does that mean it was Levy or
it has to be,
someone else? But again, it's a lack of due diligence. But Ndombele, I think, is off. There's talk about we're listening to offers. I made a note. Sanchez, Rodon, Tanganga, Reguilón, Spence and Lloris. And then and Ndombele as well. So, you know, there's a lot of dead wood being cut there. We won't need that many. We won't be getting six in. We tend to, Ange tends to work with smaller squads.
You know, he can do, can't he? Because no Europe.
And with no Europe is a big help. And I think the other thing is we will play strong sides in the Cups. There will be no question of him playing a reserve side in the League Cup. He will look at this. He's won cups everywhere he's been. He will look at that as a real opportunity, particularly if some of the so-called big clubs will play weaker sides. He won't.
Well, I think going forward will be a match for anyone. Obviously, if Kane stays, that's a given. But even not the fact that we're free. 37 shots we had against Salt. The Sailors team, like Red Lions Sailors, or something like that. 31 against West Ham, that's 68 in two games. I think we had to wait 10 games last season in a row to get that. And one player who I'm delighted about, Maddison. People say, oh, you know, he made those comments when he was younger. Like, I don't know anyone who, when they were younger, didn't say something stupid. It's just that he said it on Twitter. The other thing that makes me laugh is, yeah, we only got him because he was relegated. We've got a relegated player. I don't see any fan turning their nose up at Joe Cole, Rio Ferdinand, and all of that, Frank Lampard, when they got relegated. It's sometimes a player at a relegated team is too good for that relegated team. You can argue now that we're too good, we're not good enough for Harry Kane. So 40 million, absolute bargain for someone like that. And we've seen what he can do. If Kane can stay, he's got a partnership with him already. You know, he didn't even look up with that cross. He just knew where Kane would be, and it's
absolutely
on his head. And
I'll give you another name, Chris, Nathan Ake. When he went down with Bournemouth, I was screaming for us to sign him. Yeah, oh no, the experts on Twitter. Oh no, you know, relegated with Bournemouth, nowhere near good enough for Tottenham. Mind you, people said that to me about Ivan Toney as well. I don't know actually why I respond. you know, Ivan Toney not good enough for Tottenham, you know. Nathan Aki, now, you know, mind you, he didn't play yesterday, did he? Left central defender for the European, you know, the domestic treble winners and what have you.
I think it's just a bit of a... I mean, if we're getting like a Madison's understudy, then yeah, I can understand that. Why are we getting him? But 40 million for Madison, we were lucky that Newcastle went and got Tonali, because if they'd have wanted Madison, I think he'd have gone there just because Champions League and everything like that. But the other thing I think with Madison is when we had Eriksen, people like Son flourished because we didn't have anyone other than Harry Kane last year who can get a ball and ping it 60 yards to someone out on the wing who's then one-on-one with a defender, skins him, and then the game opens up. Mm. That's when Son was at his best. That helped Dele Alli, because Dele Alli, for me, was better off the ball than on the ball. He needed the space. Yeah. Son, Eriksen, in that move, created the space. You look at Raheem Sterling at Man City, because he had De Bruyne doing that. At Chelsea, it's slower, and he loses something there. So... And Son has said, hasn't he, in pre-season, he's back to playing where he likes playing, which is on the left. So I think it could be a big season for Son as well. I think Madison, and you've got Udogie on that side. And if Son's not at it, Perisic's been playing well on that side. But Madison is going to ping the ball left, right. He's going to have versatile passing, which we didn't have. We were so easy to play against last year. Yeah. We're playing very, very short. Unless Harry Kane comes into the centre circle, okay, we might have a problem just marking out the game. I cannot tell you how happy I was when we got Madison over the line.
No, me too. And as I say, you know, and you know, any of my social media followers or whatever know that I was advocating for Postecoglou as my, you know, first, second, and third choice. And I think you're right. And interestingly, Perisic has got a new lease of life. Yeah. You mentioned him. And Solomon appears, you know, as a free transfer. Again, people turn their nose up at a free transfer. Yeah. But I've seen us spunking off 50, you know, 40, 50 and 60 million pounds away on bad players to not worry about, a good one coming in on
it's
a free.
It's low risk, isn't it? If it doesn't work out, it's low risk.
Absolutely.
What I've seen, he wants to go forward, wants to make things happen. looks quite good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got plenty of cover. We've got cover in the front, cover at the back, and the middle. I think, as you say, I think we're all agreed. We need a little bit more cover at the back. I mean, I think Porro's another one. Porro isn't a right back. I've always said Porro's not a right back, but I do think he could play as a, you know, as a replacement for cover for Kulusevski. And I think, you know, he might even be better than Kulusevski up front.
That's good competition for places, isn't it? You need that.
Yeah.
One thing I do worry about, and you've raised that on the right back, the fullback positions, Udogi's there. Perisic wasn't that great as a wing back, wasn't it?
But no.
Back last year. Sessegnon's always injured, so his time is done for me. Postecoglou has already said Ben Davies is his left back, but it's not really got the pace. On the right, you've got Emerson, who is a right back. That's what his trade was, so no problems were there. Porro cannot defend, so he cannot be a right back. Jed Spence is on his way out.
Yep.
I think we're quite light in fullback areas, not so much in personnel, but in fullback areas of who are fullbacks.
Yep. No, I agree. I think we're definitely short of one. I'll throw a name in there. At Christmas, Celtic bought a lad, Alistair Johnson from Canada, Canadian player, came in at right back, was really, really, really good. And I think he wouldn't be silly expensive as cover for Emerson. Good going forward, knows the Postecoglou system. As a backup, I think he's pretty good. I mean, there's still read on social media, people are, you know, Emerson's rubbish. You know, people not watching him play for the last 6 months. I mean, do people actually not watch the games? Because he's like some of the games that the end of last season, the last, you know, half of last season, every time I saw him, he was like, if he wasn't man of the match, he was right up there.
Yeah. People forget.
I'm just looking at my phone because I'm getting notifications. I'm just hoping Spurs Express are going to. I've just got one. This is obviously breaking. Harry Kane is adamant he will not leave Tottenham once the new Premier League season starts and has set a deadline of the end of this week for any move to be agreed. That's Matt Law and Jason Burt in the Telegraph that's been retweeted by the Spurs Express. And I think that's in everybody's interest.
Well, he doesn't want to leave Spurs, does he? He wants trophies and... At this moment in time, well, we don't know how the season's going to go, but if you class this moment in time at the end of last season, he ain't going to win any with Spurs. So if he wants to, he's going to have to go.
No.
And you can say if he stays at Spurs, he's about 40, 50 goals behind Alan Shearer. So injuries permitting, he'll get that easily. But it's a team game, isn't it? You want to win leagues, you want to win cups. No Spurs. I was listening to Gary Lineker, Alan Shearer, Micah Richards' new podcast, and Gary Lineker was saying, no Spurs fan, and I agree with this, will begrudge him a move to someone like Bayern Munich. It'd be very different if it was Chelsea or Arsenal or someone like that or someone in the Premier League. But no one would begrudge him a move to Bayern Munich. Alan Shearer was obviously saying, I think he should go just because he's worried about his record. It's a difficult one for Kane. I think his heart has been ruling his head for quite a while. If he wasn't a Spurs fan, he'd have gone about three seasons ago.
Sure.
But at least, like you say, someone's come out and said it because it needed to be resolved one way or the other. We can't be having every press conference Postecoglou's got is him talking about the game and them going, oh, we don't care what's happening with Kane. We can't have that. We can't have that derailing our whole system, our season.
No. And in an ideal world, it would have been done 6 weeks ago. It doesn't work like that. We're leaving. The other thing about, as I mentioned earlier, about one of the reasons why I suspect he'd want, this resolved this week is there is this German Super Cup, which presumably comes with a trophy and a medal. And he's probably thinking, you know, that's a shoo-in. I mean, right, we might lose. But is I've got at least a 50-50 chance of bagging my first trophy in my first game.
Just send him there for a week and then he can come back. He's won a trophy. And then he can go, send him on a week loan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go. Yeah. I think FIFA might have something to say about that. But yeah, good idea.
But yeah, it'll be very interesting what happens with him. But yeah, as long as it gets resolved and there's time for us to if he does go, to sort replacements out or whatever, because it can't be easy for Ange.
It's hellish for Ange.
A player who he doesn't know who's going to be, if he's going to be there or not.
And this is where Levy does get on your thruppness, to be honest, because you look at the big picture. It's not just about extracting the 100 million. Not saying that's not important, and having the money to buy the additional, we might need another right back, we might need another left back, we might need another central defender. We all agree it's still the area we could do with improvement on, and we need another two or three coming in. So it's all very well hanging out for the extra money, but what happens if you've played your whole pre-season based on Harry Kane starting, and on Friday night he gets transferred and someone else has to play it? And then we get, then we get beat 3-1 by Brentford and you go, we've not really given ourselves much of a chance here. You're playing catch up.
Yeah, because I thought he should have come off at half time, and then you play a system that doesn't include him just in case. But
Richarlison had a knock. Richarlison had a knock, so he'd have had to have changed his system. But I gather Richarlison will start in Barcelona tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be quite a good game. But yeah, let's move on to one of the very many reasons I wanted Ian on the show. Let's talk about Ange. I was very unsure about him. Many of you know that Ian lives in Scotland, follows Celtic, knows quite a lot about Ange, and has been very, very consistent since we were looking for a new manager. He wanted Postecoglou. For me, I didn't know a huge amount about him. But what I did think was that when Pochettino came to us, he was a fairly unknown kind of manager, and that didn't work out too badly, whereas it hasn't worked with the top managers, the Jose and the Conte. And what I knew about Postecoglou is he's an attacking manager, which it certainly hasn't worked out with defensive managers. What I like, there's quite a few things that I like, is Conte and Jose seem like if you annoy them, you will be shot. It was almost, I'm scared of doing anything wrong to anger them, whereas Postecoglou seems to be quite a likable bloke, but one of those blokes that you know if you've pissed him off, and pleasant if you've pissed him off, but he does it in a not like mafia don kind of way. And the other thing I like is he's obviously very calm and everything like that. He said something in his press conference about likened it to a journey on a train. We may get derailed, not for long, because I won't allow it. And after the first game against West Ham, he said that the defence hasn't been worked on because I've been working on other things. We will work on the defence. I haven't done at the moment. It's a manager who takes responsibility. Conte seemed to just throw every player under the bus, and it was never his fault. So what I've seen from Ange is I'm liking it so far. And it's very important, because it will happen at some point. We have a bad run of results, to not get on his back and turn. But I don't think they will, the fans, because we will be attacking. So I'm very impressed from what I've seen so far, and I'm really liking it so far. I'm really excited for the new season. I just do worry about the defence, like I say. But yeah, you wanted Postecoglou from the start, like you said earlier, first, second and third choice. What was it about him? You obviously know a lot more than we've seen in the last 2 weeks. What was it about him that made you think, I want Postecoglou at Spurs?
There was lots. What was interesting, just taking it back a step, Celtic spent the whole of the summer of 21 courting Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe was going to be the manager, and that was going on from May till probably the middle of June or whatever. And suddenly Eddie Howe, no, I'm not coming. It seemed to be over the arrangements for his backroom team or whatever. So that was a blow. And then suddenly Celtic announced the appointment of, you know, Angelo Postecoglou. And it's like, who? And the, you know, with the usual, you know, what the hell, this is a joke, la da da. He only had a few weeks pre-season to work because, as I say, Celtic were courting Eddie Howe. Within a relative, the other thing is people, oh, you know, any idiot can win the Scottish League. Well, yeah, maybe, but Celtic had gone that 2021 season chasing 10 in a row for the first time. The Celtic team had done it in the 60s, the Jock Stein team. Rangers had done it under Walter Smith and Graham Souness in the 80s and 90s, but no one had ever won 10. And Celtic went into that season. For whatever reason, they ended it in total and utter disarray. Neil Lennon was the manager. I think there was a view at the board, you know, a blind monkey can manage Celtic to beat Rangers. So why do we? And Rangers won that league, I don't know, 15, 20, 22 points. They won it by a country mile. And Postecoglou came in. Two things. And this is typical of what he's done throughout his career, wherever he's gone at Brisbane and in Japan, is he gets into the dressing room, he doesn't like what he sees, and he just clears it out. Something that every Spurs supporter knows that we've needed doing. Well, Postecoglou has done it. So he cleared out a lot of the dross. And in fact, from the first team that started for him in July, August 2021 to the team that finished the season in May, June 2023, there were only three surviving players. He cleared out everything he didn't want. That's the first thing. The second thing is the football that was played was just beautiful to watch. And I've seen successful Celtic teams under Neil Lennon, under Gordon Strachan, under Martin O'Neill, but they were efficient winning teams. They weren't the sort of teams that had you on the edge of your seat. Whereas when Celtic were playing, I really started to look forward to seeing not only the winning teams, but seeing the quality, the fast, one, two-touch football in and around the box, the press, the number of goals. It was just fabulous. And I just thought for that reason, the quality of football, you know, Daniel Levy's talked about in our DNA, and then he appoints Nunes and then he appoints Conte. So I think that suggests that maybe, you know, Daniel can talk a good game. He doesn't really get the football like some of us get the football. But this man is absolutely steeped in the kind of quality of football that Tottenham play. He just doesn't know any other way.
I saw an interview with him on Sky Sports. It was only a couple of minute clip, but he said something about, I don't know how to tell my team last 5 minutes to just sit back and keep on the 1-0 lead. It's all about getting the second one. I don't know how.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And you won't. You Spurs could be five up in a game and they won't be sitting back playing it around. They will still be on the front foot. If it's five, he'll want six. If it's six, he'll want seven. That's just the way he plays. It's the only way he knows how to play. The other thing, I was sick the last few years of managers who thought they were doing Tottenham a favour us. No manager ever is doing Tottenham Hotspur a favour by being our manager. We're still a massive club. Yeah, we haven't won as much in the last few years as we should have done or would have liked to have done. But by any measurement, whether it's historical, whether it's attendance, whether it's turnover, whether it's league position, however you want to measure it, we are a massive football club. And I think Ange is an absolutely perfect fit for us. He knows he's in a big job, and everything he's done. I mean, the comment there, Postecoglou, what's there not to like? Well, I have to tell you, when he was appointed, there was a lot of comments on Twitter. You know, we're finished. That's a relegation battle. Typical Levy. It's cheap. You know, what have you? He probably is half of what Conte costs. He's probably
worked,
8 million.
Getting the £15 million a manager a year hasn't worked, has it? We've had two.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just, because my phone's buzzing again with Spurs Express. So I'm just looking to see if there's anything. No.
Height was half the 15, and you know. Yeah, last year, but we'll
probably get twice the manager, someone who really likes to do it. And everything that comes out from the training ground is everybody, really enjoys, you know. And as I say, I mean, there was talk with the coaching, the training in under Conte was they were playing, you know, with a ball. The ball would get played and Conte would stop and say, you know, Dyer, you run there. Emerson, you go there. I mean, how on earth can you... We talk about Levy being a micromanager. How on earth can you play football like that? Whereas here's a manager that's saying, basically, I need you to express yourself. One and two touch, you attack, you hold, you press, you play high. And Gary's coming in to give my voice a rest.
How you doing, buddy? Oh, he's frozen up.
Apologies, I forgot I lost tonight. The boxing gym. My apologies.
You meant to say that you had to take the cat to the vet in an emergency. You're not meant to say you forgot.
My mate messaged me at 4:45. I thought I thought I'd have been back by now. To be fair, mate. So
that's
it was,
all right. How you doing?
It was a court. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Did you enjoy the game yesterday?
Yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed it. The boy enjoyed it as well. So he was glad to see Harry on there.
Yeah, we'll kind of go over what we've gone over. So Harry Kane, last game for Spurs. People have put two and two together, haven't they, with him clapping the fans and are we saying goodbye? But not sure.
I was kind of like, why have you taken Harry off with 15 minutes to go when he needs a game time if the season's starting next week? Is it to get his own ovation? So he's got his own little ovation before he claps everybody at the end. But then at the same time, I'm starting to wonder, because I was adamant he was gone.
Eugene.
I was adamant he was gone. But I don't know. I don't know. It's I feel like we're getting too close now to the beginning of the season. I feel like, don't get me wrong, the problem that because of where I sit with it is, Levy's not going to let him go for nothing. Yeah. Levy is not going to run that risk. But we're getting too close now. Alvarez, or this guy who we're getting from South America, he's 19 years old.
Belize, yeah.
Yeah, he needs time to settle and bed in. Don't get me wrong, I think Richarlison will score some goals, but he's not going to be prolific. Like Harry, but then we need to also stop comparing whoever does come in to Harry Kane, because Harry Kane is a cluster of a group of a generational talent that comes in every, you know, there's these cluster of players, you know, Pele and Best, you know, Maradona and whoever, you know, or and then you've got Haaland, Kane, or Messi and Kane, and then you've got Haaland as the next generation lot. Whoever we get in is not going to replace Kane. They're not going to replace the goals that that he provides. And we need to accept that, get over it, and deal with whoever we have got and give them the full support. I'm kind of sat wondering now, is it a bit too close to...
I've been worried for a little while and still am. It's going to be a Berbatov situation. Literally the last second of the transfer window, Levy gets the price he wants, gets his money, we lose our top player and...
But this is a bit...
pieces at the last second.
Yeah, but Bayern's trying to play hardball. They're trying to be Levy and no one can be Levy, right? Don't get me wrong. Credit where it's due, right? Financially, he runs that club well and he ain't going to be put over a barrel for nobody. No. But at the same time, if Bayern come back in and offer him 100 million plus 10 million in add-ons, he'll take it regardless of when that is. But then Bayern will lose all credibility if they do. They've come in and gone, take it or leave it. take this 100 million, including the add-ons.
And it's like Ian said it. Ian said earlier that, you know, here's our take it or leave it, our final offer, apart from the one that we're going to make in 3 days.
Yeah.
So Daniel Levy knows he can get whatever he wants from them, I think, at the end of the day, because he's playing back on their word.
He's playing, listen, Levy's playing a dangerous game. Levy is playing a dangerous game. There's no two ways about it. Levy will lose. He's either going to win or he's going to lose. There's no in between in this one. Unless miraculously Harry Kane signs a contract, which I don't think is on the cards.
No, I mean, one player that we have got and must have been, I'm really looking forward to watching him. And saying earlier, I cannot tell you how happy we were when we got Maddison. And that ball to Kane for the second goal, he didn't even look, he just knew where he was, he stuck it on his head. He will help Son because he'll give him the ball quickly. He could be crucial to what we're doing next season.
And you know what, the way he covered so one of the things I picked up with watching Maddison yesterday is, you know, he's always looking for the ball, which we know that's part of Maddison's game, but he was drifting out he was drifting out to the right so Kulu could go in and be in the middle and cut inside. So it's good, and with the quality, you know, you're going to get with Maddison, it's reassuring, you know, rather than thinking, shit, where's Emerson going to put this one, you know, if he crosses it in or whatever. It's one of those. But yeah, Maddison he's going to be a fantastic addition. I miss a second goal because I was taking my boy to the toilet and some poor 19-year-old lad had collapsed, cracked his head open. So I was too busy tending to him until the medics turned up. So I missed the second goal, sadly.
Oh, right. Blimey. But yeah, and defence. Van de Ven was in the stand. I wanted Tapso. I think we need another top quality centre back as well, because if Van de Ven or Romero get injured, then we've got an Dier or a Sanchez. And yeah. I'm not sure we've got the cover in the fullback areas. We've got Emerson, who is a fullback. We've got Udogi, who is a fullback. Perisic is more of a forward player. Sessegnon's always injured. Ben Davies is Ben Davies. Porro cannot defend, so cannot be a right back. Spence, like Ian said, has apparently got a bad attitude, so Ange wants him out. What do you make of the defence? And because I think we'll score a hatful of goals this season. It's just whether how many we concede will determine our season. But yeah, do you think of the defensive situation?
Firstly, I'll make comment to your hatful of goals. I don't disagree with we're going to score goals, yeah, granted. But I felt like yesterday we were a bit too tippy tappy, looking to be too clinical in the final third. You know, we've got, you know, it was only Kulu really who was trying to shift it onto his left foot and have a dig, and he did that a few times. You know, everything else was a bit too intricate, and I feel that needs to. No, Son's got a boot on him. Kane's got a boot on him. Madison's got a boot on him. Kulusevski's got a boot on him. Paro's got a boot on him. You know, these guys have, you know, I think we should be, you know, if we find the gap, take the shot, you know, and then follow him for the rebound at the very least. So I felt we tried to be a bit too intricate at times. But I still think we'll score goals. Defensively. It's the same old story. Don't get me wrong. Van de Ven was in the stands, happy days. He's coming to Spurs. Deal looks like it's almost done. You know, here we go. Romero's already done that. For Richo Romano, even he's done his here we go bit. I'd like us to get the guy from Leverkusen as well. I've got a lot of hope for Phillips. I'll be honest, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's our third. Our main backup. I think he's got.
You think he'll be in the squad for next season rather than go out on loan and be one for the future?
I think there's a possibility with how good he is and where his ceiling could be. If he shows enough in training, if he was going to go back out on, the reason I don't think he's going to go on loan is because if he was going to go on loan, surely he'd have gone back to Blackburn for another year, because they were reluctant to let him go anyway. Yeah. So I think he might, if he shows what he's capable of, and you know what he's been doing for the England under 19s and what he did for Blackburn when he played for them, then I think he's got a shout. There's no reason why not. You know, there's young lads performing all over the pitch for loads of different other clubs. So why can't he be the same for us in defence?
I forgot about him. What do you think, Ian, on Phillips? Do you think he's... I think it's fairly given that he's going to be joining us, but do you think he'll be in the squad?
He's joined. He signed on Friday. I think what was interesting about this was that we'd apparently agreed like 3 million or something, and then Blackburn came back and says, no, we want 9. And I think they were trying to set off a bidding war. Whatever it was in his contract, that if he was still at Blackburn on the 31st of July, that he could move for £2 million. And I think Blackburn were apparently expecting there to be a number of bids or whatever. Whether there just weren't any bids or there were bids, and the boy says, I don't care what you offer, I'm not signing any contract, I'm going to Tottenham. I don't know. But Blackburn, this is when you try and screw Levy, that's what sometimes happens. My worry, though, is why weren't there lots of bids coming in for him if he's that good? But
I think it's the ceiling. He's got it there. It's there. It's where he's going to develop to. I think it's the buying the potential, isn't it? Which is a risk you take with any player at that age. You know.
I mean, talking to a couple of the lads last week. I mean, I saw a YouTube highlights package of the boy Alex Scott at Bristol City. And I don't know if you know anything about him, but there's a lot of the Gazza about him. He's not built like Gazza, you know, with his big broad shoulders and what have you, but he's hard as bloody nails and can ping a pass and can tackle and what have you. He's a player I'd love to see. I know it's midfield and we're well served there, but he's a player that I think he's going to end up being a great player. Look, we know that, you know, the limits of Dyer. We know the limits of Davis. I'm not particularly keen on Longley coming back, although that may end up happening, depending upon how many of these central defenders are going. I just don't think he's sufficient. An upgrade on Davis, for example.
No, but he's an upgrade on Dyer. I do know what? I said this about Longley towards the end of last season as whether or not we'd have him on a permanent. And for me, he's an upgrade on Dyer. He's an upgrade on Sanchez. If we have him as a third, as a backup to VDV and Romero, then I'm happy. I'm happier with Longley and Phillips out on the bench than I am with Dyer and Sanchez.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dyer's problem started when he thought he was a centre half, and he still thinks he's a centre half. Funnily enough, I actually think in an emergency, I don't think he's leaving the club. I think for whatever reason, every manager seems to fancy him around the dressing room, maybe because he's articulate and he's multilingual and what have you. But he could actually play. Sorry?
He reaches round as well.
Yeah. I think that he can play the pivot. He could play that number six role because he can pass a football. I know he doesn't have the mobility of a Sarr or a Bissouma and that drive, but he can pass. His short and long range passing is really good. So I just as I say, you want players that can, and Ange will do that, move players around within games and within systems. So I don't think he'll get rid of Dyer, although I'm with you. I'm not. You know, every time he's there in central defence, he doesn't win tackles, he doesn't win aerial duels, et cetera, all the things you need your centre-half to do. Mm. You know, if he does nothing, if he wins a tackle, makes interceptions or blocks, you know, gets out half a, you know, that hat-trick that, you know, was it the year, well, probably last, not last season, the season before, you know, where he sits off Ronaldo and bang, the ball's in the net, just... You know,
That was last year.
Was it last season?
Yeah, it was last season. At Old Trafford.
But you need to be thinking half a second quicker than Dyer's capable of thinking. And you go to Old Trafford, you play them off the park and lose 3-2 and go, you know, what the actual? And that's because you've got somewhere like Dyer.
Ian, you sat there and said his problem was when he thought he was a centre half. I'll be honest, I think the problem started in Portugal when he thought he was a footballer.
He's not that bad. Hey, I'm old enough to remember his grandpa. Yeah.
I mean, he did have appendicitis, had his appendix taken out. That was when he was a defensive midfielder under Pochettino. He's never really been the same since. His mobility.
Are you sure they didn't appear overnight? They must have removed his footballing ability when they removed the appendicitis. Then
I like Dyer, but just the fact is he's just not good enough if we want to achieve things. Unfortunately, but I like him as a kind of. I was going to say as a person, I've never met him, but from in interviews and everything like that, he seems like a likeable bloke. He's just he's not good enough. Yeah.
Mate, but you seem like but on these streams, you seem like a likeable bloke, and I've met you in person.
Exactly, I'm a lovely bloke, not just a likeable one.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I think what the proof of the pudding with Dyer is, I've never ever even heard a rumor of somebody, a decent club, any club, being checking his availability.
United were when Jose was there.
Under Jose, yeah.
Yeah,
there was rumors about him about him wanting him at Roma as well, wasn't there? Mm.
But yeah, I mean, going on from Jose, Matt, what are your thoughts of Ange at the so far? Ian was saying he wanted him from the start. Follows Celtic and followed him a lot and knows a lot more about him than I do. I wasn't sure, but from what I've seen so far, I'm really liking it. We're going to be attacking. We're going to be entertained.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem to take any prisoners, but it's not like Conte and Jose where they're almost like a mafia don. If you do something wrong, you're killed.
I get Poch vibes about him as regards his man management, is the attacking football side of things. The general, he's going to put an arm around your shoulder. He's going to give what he said about Sissoko. Pochettino said about Sissoko, he needs a little bit of more, a bit of love. And I think Postecoglou's got that in his locker. I think we've seen that. But he's also very direct. But he's very direct without being a prick about it.
Do you know what
I mean? Yeah, it's that soft.
That's what I like.
Kind of soft but authoritarian. I think he's going to be. I think we're going to see some nice football under him. I just worry that and don't get me wrong. Looking at how we played against Shakhtar. There were a couple of times where the over-the-top ball nearly caught us out.
Will that be rectified, being that Van de Ven's quicker than Usain Bolt?
Well, to be fair, mate, do you know what? This is the thing. They're both. This is the bit that kind of. I wonder how Romero and Van de Ven are going to work together, because if they've both got pace, they both like to run up. They both like to go up the pitch, right? Romero, we know, there was a point during yesterday's game where Romero was up in the centre forward position, then dropped back a little bit in midfield while they were on the attack, and I'm sat there going, what the fuck is he all the way up there? So I'm hoping that they get a balance and they find a balance with how they're gonna work, and make sure that they cover each other. Because I do with the way that we will with the way that Shakhtar being they're not the team they were. They weren't the team that we played at Wembley. They're far from it. But they are, they nearly caught us out a few times with an over-the-top ball. And this is where, saying earlier about Dyer and what we're going to do about the defence is where we're going to have our problems. But, Emerson played well. Davies, Mr. Reliable, he did the job. But there were moments where it was like, oh, fucking hell. If it wasn't for the fact that they looked like Bambi on ice when the ball came to them, or we managed to get a quick boot in and just managed to get back. Yeah, we could, against the Man City, Chelsea, if they get it together under Pochettino, United, depending on how
Villa could be dark horses, I think. But their high line, if they get figured out.
Dark horses for what?
Top four.
My honest thoughts, unless we drastically get somebody else in defence of quality, I think we're still going to risk shipping goals because of the way Postecoglou plays football. Don't get me wrong, I'm looking forward to the football we play, and I think it's going to be entertaining. I think we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to have some 4-3 dingers. Whether or not we're the ones who end up with the winning goal or not, I don't know. you know, and it, let's be honest, if every Tottenham fan carries on with the way that they've been bitching for the last 2 years, then it shouldn't matter whether we win 4-3 or lose 4-3, as long as the football's good, yeah? So it's, you know, so, yeah, I think we're going to have some really interesting games. I think there's going to be some real entertainment. But do I think that we're potentially a dark horse for top four? I'd probably say no.
I didn't mean us top four. I meant Villa dark horses for top four.
Oh, Villa. Sorry, I thought you meant us. Sorry, yeah, I was going to say,
I think any Spurs fan who's... I'm not sure many Spurs fans could legitimately hand on heart say, yeah, I think we'll get top four. I think top six is where we're looking at. And
I was going to say...
Because we haven't got Europe, one game a week, a cup run.
Top six and a cup. It wouldn't surprise me, right?
I'll be happy with that.
And especially if Kane goes, watch this. Kane's going to leave and we're going to win a trophy.
Yeah. Well, it's inevitable.
And then we're all going to sit here and go, we should have sold him sooner. That prick was a jinx.
It's inevitable, Matt. Yeah. In fact, we should all be saying, for God's sake, Harry, go, because we want to win something.
Oh, could you imagine the narrative? Daniel Levy told you it wasn't my fault last turn. You've just been Harry Kane's fault, prick.
Oh, can you? Even worse, imagine Dortmund win the league, the German league, and Manchester City beat Bayern 1-0 in extra time in the final.
And we win the FA Cup.
And we win the FA Cup.
One thing I do like about Angie is what he said, or what Maddison said he said to him when he signed him. Whether you join us or not, you're going to see a different Tottenham.
Yeah.
He just knows exactly what he wants. There's no, what do I do? I'm not sure. He knows his own mind. He knows exactly what he wants, and he's going to stick to it. Whereas Conte was, I know what I want. If you don't adopt that, I'll shoot you.
Yeah.
And like Max says, Ian, and very direct, but in a nice way, so that you know you don't want to.
But also, he's made it very clear. I don't know how many people have picked up on it. I don't think many have, because I haven't seen it on Twitter. But he knows where he stands with the board as well. You look at what I don't know what's happening with Kane. I'm not involved in that. I just want it sorted quickly. Okay, yep. So we know that you've got, actually, yes, you've maybe given them a list, but at the end of the day, you know that they'll get whatever they can off that list, but whatever else you get, you're going to have to work with.
Is that not a bad thing, though? You should be...
No, I think...
leaving your manager in the dark like that?
No, I don't think that's... I think the way I read that is we... No one can sit there and go, you haven't back... You know, it all just goes to backing the manager. To me, that statement says, I have an input to a degree, yeah? But I know that at the end of the day, the final decision, isn't mine, potentially. Obviously, I'm just reading into one comment. Yeah.
But he set out a marker, hasn't he, Gareth? He set out a marker to say, you know, you can push me so far, but no further.
And this is where I was coming to. It's almost like he knows where he stands with the board, but he's got his limit, right? Whereas, like you were saying, whereas under Conte, it was fuck you, I don't care. Yes, this is what I want. This is how it's going to be. Fa fangola stronzo bastardo. I'm away. Arrivederci. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, and this is how we're doing it. Oh, all right then, Conte. Yeah, you can have this. No, fuck off. Do one.
Yeah.
And the reason I brought that up is I actually like the fact that Postecoglou has alluded to this, because there's not going to be this issue of conversation under when we had Pochettino. You know, it's nice having a new house, but if you haven't got the furniture to put in it, well, you're either there under a new assumption, or you think you've got more power than you have in that, you know, looking back on it.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho knew what he wanted, wasn't going to get it because it was over the top, and Levy wasn't prepared to reinvest at that point. He decided to start reinvesting under Conte, didn't invest right in some areas, but made it very clear that actually, no. Whereas we've got a manager now who is going to sit there and he goes, I know my place, I know my level, and as long as we stay within this remit, everything's going to be fine. You know, he will continue to play the football he wants to play. He will use the players who will fit that style of play. And if they don't, we know full well they ain't going to be on the bench. They ain't going to be in the squad and they'll be doing something else. So, you know, to me, I like the fact it looks quite cut and dry. It looks to be a very, because we always say behind the scenes, it looks like shit. Behind the scenes, there's something going wrong. Behind the scenes, there's a disconnect. And I kind of get the feeling that there's been very clear parameters set between Levy and Postecoglou. And I'm hoping that that can only be beneficial.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Just to add to that, though, one of the reasons...
You have to add to that. It's not like you.
Say that again? You having something to add? That's not like you. No, absolutely. Strangely enough, I have on this rare occasion. Is that Scott Munn? I wasn't surprised about the Ange link because Scott Munn and he are both Australians and worked together in Asia when they were both working in Japan. But we haven't heard hide nor hair of Scott Munn, other than there were some contractual difficulties. We don't know what they are. We don't know, for example, if Manchester City have got an interdict, an injunction rather, out against him to stop him working at Tottenham, whether he's allegedly provided names of players that were business secrets at Man City. I mean, I'm speculating. I have absolutely no idea. But that was meant to be. He was meant to be the sort of conduit between Levy and Postecoglou, and it's clearly not happened. So thankfully, it hasn't all gone hopelessly wrong so far. But you're right. I think there does seem to be clear parameters, and it does also appear that Postecoglou is getting the players that he wants in the positions that he wants, and that hasn't happened for a couple of seasons. I mean, I think Van de Ven is such a typical Postecoglou player, and as I say, if we can get one more, you know, the boy at what's his name, Tatsova, I pronounced that right, we got someone like that, and we got Phillips as well, we would be cooking. We really would be cooking. But
do you think it's still ifs.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be any more ins and outs, Ian, during the window? Ignore Kane, because we don't know about that. But
yeah, absolutely.
Way Reguilon, Tapsoba, maybe.
I think they'll all go. I think they will all go. And as I said to you, one of the things that he's done, he did it at Brisbane, he did it in Japan, he did it at Celtic, is he decided who he didn't want and he shunted them. Yeah, Postecoglou is absolutely ruthless at this. Something you'd have thought Mourinho and Conte would have been better at. The players, the Sanchez, Rodon, Tanganga, Reguilon, Spence, Lloris, and Ndombele, you know, I think Gil and Sessegnon, if they were fit, might also have gone, but they might not go this time. I think there'll still be seven or eight. I think you might find there's three more. Forget Kane, because that does change the dynamic of everything. But I think you'll find there's eight or nine out, and maybe three, possibly four coming in.
Yeah, what do you think, Mac, at ins and outs, ignoring Kane, like we said, because we don't know about that?
Well, I'm hoping Sanchez goes. He needs to go for his for his own sanity and mental health, I think, after the booing and stuff last season. I think he needs to go. And Galatasaray, especially if they're going to throw Nielsen. I saw a report that potentially they were going to offer like £11 million plus Nielsen for Sanchez, which I'd bite their hand off personally for that. You know, Tapsoa, be nice. It'd be nice if, because apparently we are still interested in him regardless of the fact that Van de Ven's coming in. I like the fact that I'm reading that Van de Ven was actually a Liverpool target. And he's come to Spurs because they've spent more time concentrating on Lavia. They've missed the boat with Van de Ven, so that's nice. I think Højbjerg, something needs to happen there. We need to know whether he's staying or he's going.
Or Højbjerg as well, yeah.
Yeah, he's, as much as he's played his part in the pre-season, yeah, there's been speculation. But for me, Sanchez, Jed Spence, Rodon, You know, there's three, four there. Hoiberg, I'm not going to be bored. I'd be happy if he stayed. I'm not quite Queen Ellie Hoiberg fan, but I like Hoiberg.
Queen Ellie.
I like Hoiberg. And I think he said he'll do a job. He does the dirty work. And I've always said this about him. And I think we need him in that respect, because now we've got Maddison, there's potential for space to be left. Even Lo Celso and Maddison and Lo Celso, you know, both very similar. Lo Celso looks like a new player with the system. We've got a system that suits Lo Celso now, which I think is fantastic. So it's almost about having a new player with him. I don't know. From the ones I've mentioned, I think, you know, it's the obvious ones. And then as regards coming in, another defender would be nice. You know, like I say, Tapsoa, to be fair, even if Nielsen came in as a backup and we didn't get Tapsoa until, you know, January, or we looked at him next transfer window in the next summer transfer window, then happy days. And then any striker that is going to cut the mustard as regards, you know, 15 goals, happy with that, because we've got goals in the rest of the squad. So if we can get a 15-goal striker, you know, behind Richarlison, because I'm not sure if this South American lad, as powerful as he is, as good in the air as he is, when they come direct from South America, as Phil Vickery quite rightly said on TalkSport, is, you know, he named a handful of South African guys, South American guys, who came direct to the Premier League. And they didn't cut it. Don't get me wrong, there's been the odd one. Here's hoping we've got one of the odd ones.
Yeah, I think what will happen is if Kane goes, we'll make do with Richarlison as his replacement, and then in January try and get Tony from Brentford. That's what I think will happen. But again, that will probably be because, like, I think it's going to be a Berbatov situation. We're not going to have time until January to get someone in. If we can get Tapsoba, I'll be absolutely delighted. Tapsoba, Romero, Van de Ven fighting out for those two centre-back places, and then Phillips on the bench. Reduces the chances of us having to rely on Dier or Sanchez if they're still there. I'd like to see another fullback, just because I think in terms of personnel who can play fullback, who are fullbacks, I don't think we've got a huge amount. So if Romero...
For this season, I don't think we need to worry, mate. Genuinely, I don't think for this season we should be focusing on the fullback role. Centre back is where we need. You know, if you look at your starters being Destiny and Emerson, yeah, because of the defensive ability as well, as well as going forward. But Davies and Porro.
Porro, for me, can't defend. So for me, he's not a right back at all.
But. What I'm saying is his backups. They're not bad backups to have. And if you look at where you know, we can't be greedy.
No. I agree. If it's a choice between the two, it's a centre back all the way.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I don't think, I think what we've got at the moment in the wing back position, the left back, right back, whichever position and formation that he chooses to play, with depending on whoever he chooses, you know, who's going to take that position at the time. I think that we're okay. We're okay. We're a lot better than we have been anyway in the wing back position, and we need to cover that centre back position more than anything else right now.
Yeah, and kind of last thing before we head off, Ian, what are your hopes and predictions for the next season? Hopes would be a cup and top six, like I say, and that would probably be my prediction as well. Top six and a cup, because of the lack of Europe, and like you said earlier, Ange won't be playing bit part players in the cups if there's a chance that we can go and win them.
I think first of all, for the first time in four seasons, people are going to enjoy going to watch Tottenham. And let's be honest, it has been for the most part pretty turgid watching, and at the end of last season it was absolutely horrific what we were watching. Those games at Newcastle, and I ended up turning off the Liverpool game. Granted, I turned it back, but when we went three down in whatever it was, I can't do this. This sort of self-flagellation, I can't do this 2 weeks running. But I think the football is going to be great. I think people are going to love going to Tottenham. Yes, there will be some So maybe the days with Birkinshaw. You know, we lost a lot of marginal games, 3-2 and 4-3 and what have you. But it was always really entertaining, and I think it will be entertaining. Mm. If you gave me top six now in the FA Cup, don't put your hand out because I will bite it off.
To be fair, either of the cups wouldn't matter.
Either of the cups. I'd like the FA Cup because it's still the bigger one. But either of the cups. A cup top six.
and Matt, there's always a chance that you can get top four. Never say never, but I think it's too much for us. I think top four is too much. Arsenal will be in the top four. Whether they'll be as close to City, I'm not sure. Man City are going to win the league, I think. Liverpool, Man United, Newcastle, even Aston Villa, I think, are top four shouts. And don't write off Brighton either, you know.
Listen, I'm going to say something. I'm going to just put this out there. All right. It's more, and because you said hopes and predictions. So my hope.
Well, the hope is that we Villa, win the league and the League Cup and FA Cup.
My hope is Villa, Brighton and Arsenal all capitulate and aren't able to handle it with massive injury problems and tiredness and the way the fixture congestion goes. Oh, my God, we're playing on a Thursday. We're doing a 12 o'clock Sunday. Oh, my God. And they all completely capitulate because of the European games. And we end up sneaking top four because all three of them go, oh, fuck, and limp to the line.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility, is it? But yeah,
no, it's not. It's not. Let's be honest. You look at the season Leicester won the cup, won the Premier League. Yeah. Stranger things have happened.
And last season, no one predicted Arsenal to get anywhere near the top of the league.
But if you look at those three, the three teams that haven't been in Europe for, well, Brighton ever, Aston Villa for years, Arsenal for years, and then you look at what Arsenal still haven't got. Right? They still haven't got a striker, a prolific goal scorer. They played Havertz yesterday in the false nine position. Useless sack of shite that boy is as a false nine and as a goal scorer. Mm. He's missed more chances than he's scored. He holds up, I think it's what, the lowest goal scorer for Chelsea for the position, which is obviously not a great record to have. So they're definitely missing something up front. And if you haven't got that in Europe as well, then you're going to end up something hopefully might go wrong for them drastically. So that's my hope. And my prediction, top six and I hope potentially a cup could be coming our way.
Yeah, well, I agree with Ian. I think we're going to be entertained this season, so it's not going to be boring and anything like that. And certainly last season, what you get with that negative play is I was never really confident of scoring a goal. When we went 1-0 down, it's like, oh, right, well, that's game over then, isn't it? It's just how many we concede now. Whereas with an attacking game like this under Pochettino, I always thought we could get a goal in the last minute if we were one goal down or even two goals down.
Or in the 11th minute of added time.
That's coming back. That's coming back. So under from what I've seen from Ange, that we will be attacking. But
and we've got the ability. We've got a forward. We've got good enough players in that squad to score goals.
Yeah, obviously, I'll be delighted if Kane stays. But if it was a choice between get money for him now and get him out to a European club, who let's face it, we ain't playing Bayern Munich for a long while. Mm-hmm. Or go free to Man United or Chelsea or someone in the league. I'd begrudgingly say, take the 80, 100 million or whatever it is. Because I think he'll be back at some point as well once he's got the, you know. Yeah. Well, I was saying, you know, send him on a 2-week loan to Bayern Munich, get him to win that Super Cup. He's won his trophy, then he can come back and beat Sirius. Probably won't happen.
Go for a trial. The Super Cup, Harry Kane, trialist one.
Yeah. He's having a 2-week German holiday to Munich, and then he's coming back. And while he's there, but yeah, that's pretty much it for the end of today's show. A big thanks to Ian and Mac as well.
Ian, big thanks for Ian to holding the fort, mate. So my apologies.
No show for yourself, but you'll be with plenty of others, so I'm sure.
I'll tell you what I will say. I don't know if anybody's watching, but you both, I think, follow me on Twitter. And maybe some of the chat do as well. I made my what do they call it? My profile piece. My what do they call it? That tweet. Your whatever tweet it was.
The pinned
the Bratwurst Uber trophy. Don't do that to me when I've been struggling with a cold. Yeah. I wrote a piece.
I'm afraid we've been on for an hour and a half, but you can catch it on the replay on YouTube. It's
my pin tweet. That's what it was. I wrote a piece in June about what I thought would happen under Postecoglou. It's a bit too long, but have a little read. A lot of it's coming true as to what where we're going with it. So
will it help me get to sleep?
You get to sleep. Mac, if you can't sleep, yeah, read it. It will put you to sleep. Probably wish you were dead, to be honest. But yeah.
Yeah, that's, mate, I tell you what, right? My pinned tweet is still me meeting Gareth Bale on Sky Sports. That's still my pinned tweet from when he came back.
Yeah.
But yeah, so make sure you follow Ian. That's his Twitter handle there, at Shaggy1712. Read that, the prediction of what's happening with Postecoglou and what is happening. Mac, Raw Emotion Podcast, is that happening or are you just...
I'm like Ian now. I haul myself out to whichever man wants me on their podcast. And luckily it was you.
Yeah, lucky me. You wouldn't have got your money though, because you were an hour late, but you know.
Mate, listen, there's no prizes for coming first.
And what's the point? I can't stop fighting, so I have to go to the doctor's bar and bring a jar with a lid to capture the magic. Interesting.
To be fair,
a bit on the source, I think.
To be fair, Chris has always shown us where the magic happens every time we do this show.
And Max says the exact same joke every time. Yep. And I still laugh. What does that say about me? But anyway, thanks to Ian. Thanks to Mac. Thanks to everybody in the comments, as always. Thanks so much for getting involved and getting your questions and comments in. If you haven't done so already, please hit the like. If you haven't done so already, hit subscribe. Follow Mac and Ian on their Twitter handles there. If you like a bit of magic, Chris's Magic, that's on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. on YouTube. And yeah, I'll be back on Friday. Friday hour, but it's more like half hour.
Have you done the disappearing finger trick yet?
No. Oh, you're the only one who saw that.
Well, I didn't. All you said to me was, "I'm just bend over, trust me. I'm going to put my finger in your bum." And then you went, "Look, no hands."
Yeah. And what's the point? Yeah, we are. Well, they're not lightweights. I am. I need my kip. Sorry, I missed the show, but you. Thanks so much for getting involved and watching. Hope you hit the like and catch the rest on YouTube. Back on Friday. Like I say, hopefully we'll have some clarification on the Kane situation there, and it'll be a preview for the Brentford game. Until then, as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Thanks so much for watching. For everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments, before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section on the YouTube videos. For those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter at LTalkTottenham, Instagram, Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you'll find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you Spurs.